And now the gospel reading from John. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and the people loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil, the light they hate, and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that in it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. This is the gospel of grace. Thanks be to God.
And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. This morning, we are given a conversation between Jesus and a man named Nicodemus. And in reading it, I think of an article Yale chaplain William Sloan Coffin once wrote, in which he described a conversation he had had with Jeb Magruder, one of the Watergate conspirators, whom Coffin had had as a student 2 decades prior. Coffin said he told the young, promising, yet also somewhat obsequious student, "You're a nice guy, Jeb, but not yet a good man. You have lots of charm, but little inner strength. And if you don't stand for something, you're apt to fall for anything." Coffin then closed the piece by saying that it is clear that in order to do evil in this world, you don't have to be evil. Just a nice guy, but not yet a good man. If there ever were such a thing as a nice guy, I think Nicodemus was it. As a Pharisee, he was devout and a religious man, and in my imagination, someone seriously concerned about God and country, family, and friends. He was earnest and diligent and probably smart as a whip. Everyone knew him, and everyone liked him. And as we are in the midst of a municipal election season, Nicodemus was probably just the kind of guy who could garner a lot of votes for a city council position or even the office of the mayor. Vote nice. Vote Nick. It's got a good ring. But nice as he was, Nicodemus found himself on the outs with a lot of the other Pharisees when it came to their views of this Jesus of Nazareth. Nicodemus had heard him preach, and he liked what he had to say, and so it really troubled him that so many other people, especially other Pharisees, found Jesus so unsettling and even unnerving. They couldn't stand what Jesus was saying or where it was that he was saying it. And there were rumors that a group of them were getting ready to put him out of the temple along with his followers also. So Nicodemus decided to go and have a conversation with Jesus and see what he could make of him. But because he was afraid and perhaps a bit uncertain, Nicodemus decided to go at night. Nick at night. That's got a nice ring too. When he arrived, I think Nicodemus wanted Jesus to explain himself to him. He was nice, and he wanted Jesus to be nice too. He wanted Jesus to clear things up, smooth things over, and make all of the controversy go away. He wanted to be able to tell the other Pharisees that it had been all just a big misunderstanding. That way, Nicodemus could go back during the day and tell them everything was hunky-dory. But Jesus wasn't interested in pretending that things were hunky-dory. And he wasn't interested in explaining himself to Nicodemus either. In fact, he really didn't so much want to talk about himself. He wanted to talk about Nicodemus. And he did so by bringing up a very strange and even scary subject: snakes. Now, when this story comes up in the lectionary every third year, it is always on the same weekend as the rattlesnake roundup down in Sweetwater, Texas. That means anyone interested in a very real sermon illustration has 25,000 pounds worth of rattlesnakes just waiting for them 3 hours down the road from Fort Worth. And I read in the newspaper just this week that they are taking COVID-19 precautions and asking everybody to wear their masks because, as one worker said, they wouldn't want to put anyone else's life at unnecessary risk. Yes, I found that ironic also. Jesus brought up a story from the Hebrew Bible in which the Israelites wandered into 25,000 pounds worth of snakes in the wilderness. It was meant to be a horrifying story because from the very beginning, human beings had been taught to be afraid of snakes. As the book of Genesis says, snakes bruise our heels and we bruise their heads. It is primordial. Snakes are an ancient sign of death. And this snake that Jesus was talking about to Nicodemus was deadly also. And what was it? Well, surprisingly, it's the snake inside of Nicodemus himself, and also every other nice guy and neat gal and temple-going Pharisee and church-going deacon and all others as well, including you and me. Jesus is saying to Nicodemus that if he doesn't come to terms quickly with the snake that is inside of him, that it's going to end up biting him on the heel and poisoning him in the soul. Nicodemus has a choice. The forces which will soon kill Jesus are conspiring. Nicodemus needs to see that he will soon have to decide. And if he doesn't find the inner strength to stand for something, then he's apt to fall for anything. Far from just trying to justify himself, Jesus has turned the tables on Nicodemus. He forces him to take a long, hard look at himself and see that deep down inside, beyond that nice guy persona, there is a poisonous viper that will do just about anything it feels that it must in order to stay alive or employed or on the right side of the Sanhedrin. It's inside of him. And it's inside of us too. And Jesus says that the only way to cure the poison is to take the snake out and look at it, to be honest about it, to be honest about ourselves, to come face to face with the truth about ourselves. I see a lot of my own self in Nicodemus. I see the struggle of a person of privilege. For so long, my heart said one thing, but my actions said another. I believed in a Jesus that loved the whole world and wanted the whole world to be together. But when Rush started in college, I chose instead a world of whiteness. And I would do just about anything to be accepted by it. A bunch of nice guys in that fraternity, or as the Dukes of Hazzard said, just some good old boys. Then later, the deep, deep struggle I had to decide to include. I knew in my heart of hearts that God loves and accepts gays and trans people. Yet what would it cost me to say that? Would there be a pulpit for me? Would the pulpit be taken? I wondered that even here. There's a cunning and calculating serpent inside of me. There is in all of us people of privilege. And maybe that's why it's so hard for nice people to be saved. But hear this good word from the gospel this morning. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save it. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man is to be lifted up also. In other words, he who was without sin became sin. He who was not a serpent became a serpent that all of the other serpents like me might be saved. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. If we so-called nice people will realize just how much evil we can do, confess the evils that we have done or stood silently by and watched, and accept the gift that God gives us in Christ, the grace that makes us not merely nice, but truly redeemed. The gospel comes this morning to convict us. It comes to tell us the truth about ourselves, and we shall know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Nicodemus was a long time coming to the truth about himself. Later on in the gospel, Nicodemus was in a meeting where they were talking about arresting Jesus under false charges. Nicodemus tried to speak up, but then fell silent yet again. He wasn't yet willing to risk everything for the truth quite yet. But then, the very end of the gospel, after Jesus is crucified, Nicodemus makes a bold decision. He comes and he asks Pilate for the body. And so the one who came to Jesus in the night stood there in the day. And what was whispered in the dark was then shouted in the light. Nicodemus, too, was now a follower. Yes, a critic could say Nicodemus's decision came too late for Jesus, and that's true. But it wasn't too late for Nicodemus. It wasn't too late for Nicodemus to be set free, nor is it too late for you and for me. We can still be saved. We can be set free. So let us decide then to slough off that old serpent skin and decide to become who it is that we were meant to be, both at night and also in the day. For that is the gospel, that he came to save us. He came to save us from our own deepest and darkest selves. In my case, he came to save me from my whitest self. He came to save us, and it's not too late. It's never too late to be redeemed. Now back to the beginning of the story of Jeb Magruder. For his crimes in Watergate, Jeb Magruder went to the federal penitentiary. But after he got out, he gave his life to God, and he became a Presbyterian minister. That's what old Paul Harvey would call the rest of the story. The rest of the story was that the snake became a good man. It became a redeemed person. Jeb Magruder was set free. Nicodemus was set free. And by the grace and mercy and love and goodness of God, we can still be set free also. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God and Mother of us all, and all of God's people then said, Amen.